three most common, all right, the three most common forms of praise mentioned in the Bible. And I want you to notice before you turn this subject off what the Bible says here in Psalm 150 in verse 6. It says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. All right, do you have breath tonight? Then you have an obligation according to the Bible. Praise the Lord. Have you been praising the Lord? Or have we gone silent? It's a good thing to praise the Lord. We ought to praise the Lord, and he is worthy. This is one of our duties. This word, praise, appears in our Bible about 300 times. Now, I'm just going to give you approximate numbers here tonight, just so we can just keep it general. This word, praise, appears in our Bible about 300 times, both in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. It is one of our duties. It is just as much a duty for you to praise the Lord as it is to pray. It's just as much of a duty for you to praise the Lord as it is for you to study the Bible or witness or love God or be a good steward of your finances and give tithes and offerings and so on and so forth. Praise is not some option. We tend, if we're not careful, as human beings first, and also as Baptists, to be very, very reluctant to praise the Lord. I think that might be rooted in pride. We're scared of what someone might think of us if we praise the Lord. We're supposed to praise the Lord. And while we're making, while we're praising the Lord and obeying Psalm 150, verse 6, we're also supposed to make his praise glorious. Psalm 66 and verse 2. If you're going to praise the Lord, in other words, he says, if you're going to praise me, make it glorious. Make it glorious. So, you know, you don't just drive down the road and say, wow, look at those trees. And the leaves are changing. Okay, that's not making his praise glorious. We're going to say, wow, look at that. Man, it's amazing out there. What God does this time of the year. Or at night looking into the moon or into the stars. Or going over and watching a sunset. My wife and I did that just about a week ago over Lake Erie. I call it cheap entertainment. And she thinks I'm really great doing it for her. It's really cheap entertainment. She's not here. I think she's sailing. Did she go home? Oh, she's in the nursery. Yeah, she can hear me then. She got sick this afternoon because the Bills lost. No, I think they lost, didn't they? Did they lose? They lost again? All right. I didn't know. But no, I'm just kidding. Her and I have been having a couple of weeks of just going back and forth with this head cold and everything. But, man, we saw a sunset. We were the only one. Well, there's one other guy walking down the beach at all of Lake Erie. It was just beautiful. Just praise the Lord. Psalm 113:3 says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. God wants us to praise him all day long. First of all, because he's worthy. He is worthy of our praise. It's so important that we praise the Lord. Just think of how many people are cursing the Lord today. Think of how many movies people are watching today where the name of God and the name of Christ are just cursed in front of millions and millions of people. Boy, I wouldn't want to be some of those Hollywood actors on the judgment day. When God gets his remote out and presses it and says, now, did you say that about me? Did you say that about my son, Jesus Christ? In a movie where millions and millions of people watched you curse my son. Can you imagine being in their shoes at that moment? On the judgment day? Brother, the Bible says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I wouldn't want that. I mean, it'd be bad enough to curse the Lord privately. But can you imagine doing it publicly? Can you imagine how many times Christ has been cursed today on television and movies and websites? And they don't curse Allah and they don't curse Muhammad. He's not worth it. They curse Christ. And if we go silent, he will not receive the praise and the glory that's worthy of his name. If you don't think you can do anything else for God, you can praise the Lord. You can praise the Lord. Every one of us can praise the Lord. But what in the world is praise? I want to just share with you the three most common forms of praise in the Bible tonight. There's some forms, and I studied all 300 verses, or 300 times. It's actually 278 verses, but sometimes the word's in there a couple times in the same verse. And I went down through them all, and this is how you need to study the Bible. Some subjects take you a long time. It's hard work. And there are certain forms that are mentioned maybe once or twice, such as clapping or shouting or leaping or dancing. Those might be mentioned once or twice, but I counted up the three most major forms of praising the Lord, and I want to just share these with you today so you can see what they are. And number one is saying it. Saying it. Saying something to the Lord or about the Lord, about his character, about his works, about his blessings, about his benefits. Thank you, Lord, for my life today. You know, the dear lady this morning who was telling me about how her husband had a stroke, and I said, oh, boy, I'm sorry. She said, no. She said, this coming into our life has brought us so much closer to God. We talked, we said, what would this world, people say, why does God allow sickness in this world? Man, that's one of the best blessings he's ever sent the world. It causes us to feel for people. It causes us to minister to people. What would we do if everybody was healthy and perfect? We wouldn't pray. We wouldn't have feelings for people. We wouldn't have opportunities. Sickness and suffering has brought so many opportunities for us to show the love of God to people. She said, no, this is one of the best things that ever happened to us. We've been seeking the Lord ever since. You know what she's doing? She's praising the Lord. She's praising the Lord. The first way that we praise the Lord, and this way is mentioned about 240 times out of these verses, and I'm going to just give you approximate numbers. About 240 times praise in the Bible is just, you just say something. You just say something. Turn to the book of Hebrews for a minute. In the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12 and Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. It tells us, in my opinion, this is probably the best verse in the Bible on the subject that defines for us what praise is. Praise is the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips saying something. Saying it. The fruit of our lips offering the sacrifice of praise, that is, giving thanks to his name. Now, brethren, gratitude is the one of the deepest forms of the expression of the soul. We ought to thank the Lord. That's why we have testimony time. It gives people opportunity to praise the Lord. We call it praise or testimonies. And we don't glorify ourselves. We stand up and say something that the Lord did. Maybe the Lord answered a prayer. Maybe the Lord sustained us or kept us safe or kept us from an accident or has given us health. Or maybe the Lord's given us a sickness that's brought him. You can think of anything to thank the Lord for. We're supposed to thank the Lord for things. We're supposed to thank the Lord in things. I mentioned that a few months ago in a sermon. The sermon was called For and In. In everything give thanks. For everything give thanks. And just being grateful. I think this is one of the reasons why God has ordered in his word that we give thanks before we eat a meal. He says we're supposed to receive food with thanksgiving. It's sanctified by the word of God and the giving of thanks. And it just may be that the Lord designed in the long run our bodies to need to eat about three times a day, just so maybe we could come into God's presence three times a day. Give him some thanks. We need to say it. We need to to say it. How important is this? Turn to 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 4. Now there's an exciting book. But man, there are some nuggets, there are some diamonds in 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles about this thing called praise. I mean, I know it's one of the harder books to read in 1 and 2 Chronicles, but boy, all of a sudden you get right into some hard reading and this big, just you just see this huge diamond in the Word of the Lord. Now, this verse here showed me how important it is to say it. It's so important to say it. Don't be quiet. The world's cursing Christ. The world's cursing God. They're very, very vocal about it. One of the things that irritates me no end is these teenage girls, not the ones in our church, but in the world. And what do they say all the time? You don't even want to repeat it, do you? What's their favorite phrase, these teenage girls nowadays? Oh, my God. Over and over and over and over again, they use God's name lightly and in a vain way. Man, it just irritates me when I hear that. They use God's name so lightly. We're supposed to praise and exalt the name of God. 1 Chronicles 16:4 kind of showed me a little bit and showed us today how important this thing is of praise. When it came to the tabernacle and the worship in the tabernacle and in the temple, later it says, and he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Notice there were people who were appointed. They were appointed. Can you imagine that? They had to go around and get some of the Levites and say, now here's what you're going to do all day. You're going to praise and thank the Lord. That's what you're appointed. This is your business. We appoint you to praise and thank the Lord. It sounds pretty important, doesn't it? Turn to chapter 23. Chapter 23 and verse number 28. 23 and verse 28. But their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord in the courts and in the chambers and in the purifying of all holy things and the work of the service of the house of God, both for the showbread and for the fine flour for meat offerings and for the unleavened cakes and for that which is baked in the pan and for that which is fried and for all manner of measure and size and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even. Notice verse 28, and there's a whole bunch of duties, but let's just read the first part of verse 28 and then go to 30. But because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even. Okay, every morning you guys stand here and thank and praise the Lord. Then every evening before we go home, you guys stand here and you just praise and thank the Lord. And we're talking about the daily ministry of the tabernacle and later in the temple. Isn't that something? And this is, it sounds like it's important to say it. And when you study this word praise, you'll see that the main way the human race praises the Lord is by saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it. And we have kept too quiet about this. We need to praise the Lord, constantly exalting God with our lips for His character, His work, His blessings, His benefits. In fact, praise the Lord, that phrase, praise the Lord, occurs in 33 of these 300 verses. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you don't know what else to say, say praise the Lord. If you can't think of something to thank Him for, just say praise the Lord. There is so much that we can praise and thank the Lord. We ought to praise the Lord all day long. Psalm 113, verse number 3. Now I'd like you to turn to the book of Judges, and I want to show you the second most common way. The second most common way to praise the Lord, and this is something that again we all should be doing. In Judges chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise. unto the Lord God of Israel. I want you to notice the second most common way to praise the Lord in the Bible is to sing it. Now, this is found in 40 of the verses. 40 of the verses, we find that we can praise the Lord by singing. We're told, make a joyful noise unto the Lord 7 times. We're told to sing unto the Lord 16 times. But there's a total of 40 verses where singing and praise are connected. So the second most common way mentioned in all the Bible of praising the Lord is by singing. We need to sing unto the Lord. I have heard experts, people who know music a whole lot better than I do, who say they can take any human being and teach them how to sing. Any human being can be trained how to sing. That's just the way God made us. We have to be careful about the I can'ts of our life. Brother Ravert's been talking about that. A lot of people say, I can't memorize Scripture. I can't witness. I can't. You know, we need to get that out of our vernacular. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We can memorize Scripture. We can remember people's names. We can remember sermons. We can remember truths. And we can learn to sing. Now, that's from people that know more than I do. Nevertheless, whether or not we can sing well or not, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. God said to sing. Zephaniah 3, verse 17, it says, He sings over His own people. And God says for us to sing unto the Lord, and sing praise. I think music's mentioned over 500 times in the Bible, but it's equated with praise 40 times. And God said to sing, so we must be able to do it. We must be able to do it. And we need to sing. Turn to the book of Psalm, chapter number 144. Psalm 144. And I want you to notice verse number 9. And these are just a couple more examples of what the Bible is saying here, that singing is a common form of praise. And we certainly want to work on our singing as individuals. We want to sing when we come to church. We want to sing when the song leader says, open your book to such and such a number. You want to sing with the congregation. And we need to have a church where the person who's the misfit is the one who's not singing. And everybody else is singing. God does, as we said back in August, God does inhabit the praises of Israel. His presence is often felt in praise. In praise. And when people come to this church, they need to feel the presence of God. And yes, I'm using that word, feel. I'm not going to let people take that word away from me. I'm not afraid of that word. I'm not afraid of feeling my religion. I'm not afraid of my faith affecting my emotions sometimes, making me want to sing or making me want to cry or making me happy. I'm not afraid of feelings. And what my faith will do, and I'm not afraid to praise the Lord in singing and singing out. Singing out when you're singing. And I can remember vividly when we started the chapel, not even two years ago, the singing was as quiet as a mouse. But I was leading the singing, and I was singing out. And a couple others would sing out, Brother Mike and others, but for the most part, they were very timid. But man, now they're singing out. It's getting better all the time. It can be contagious when people sing out. The Lord inhabits the praise. His presence is felt in praise, and one of the ways we praise is by singing. Psalm 144, verse 9 says, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises. There it is again. One way to praise the Lord is by singing. We can sing praises unto the Lord. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Well, that can be a special time in people's lives, a bonding time. Man alive, you know, if we could just sing unto the Lord and praise the Lord here and put our whole hearts into it, that'll help our children growing up. Even if they get away from the Lord, they're going to miss that moment. They're going to miss that moment. You got something for me? All right. Can I do this and preach at the same time? Is that? I'll have to call Miss Manners. See what she says about this. Yeah, this may help. Excuse me a minute. Yeah. Maybe that'll help. Psalm 149. Sing unto the Lord a new song. It's praising the congregation of the saints. Listen, when we start singing, we start praising, and kids start seeing adults singing and praising and putting their hearts into it, they tend to take on the characteristics of the adults around them. You take a little boy out to a football game, and his dad goes bonkers. Pretty soon he's going to take on the characteristics of his father. And we ought to praise the Lord. We ought to just praise the Lord. Exalt Him. Lift Him up. Sing out when you come to church. Sing out on Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, whatever, Sunday mornings, men's breakfast, doesn't matter when, just sing out. Some new guy there come, see 50 guys singing out and say, I guess men are supposed to sing. You get the idea. It's a lesson we teach people. It's a way we can praise the Lord. Sing in your car. Sing in your shower. You know, we got a man I know who has a business. One of our members works at his business, and the man says that member's a real testimony. He's always humming the hymns real loud. Singing them, he's not even conscious. Sometimes he's doing it. It's a testimony. It's a testimony for the Lord. We need to sing it. You don't have to turn there, but in Isaiah 42 and verse number 10, Isaiah 42 verse 10, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, anywhere. In the congregation of the saints, those of you that go down into the seas and from the end of the earth, sing unto the Lord his praise. Sing unto the Lord his praise, you know. We got to get this outside of the church. We got to die to self, crucify our pride, and start singing to the Lord. Paul and Silas did it in prison. They sang praises at midnight, and it affected those in the prison. They became law-abiding citizens. They did. You read the story, the earthquake knocked down the whole prison. And if I was a prisoner, or you were, what would you have done? Bolted. Freedom, alas. But Paul said, we're all here. Nobody's left. You don't have to kill yourself, Mr. Guard. You can get saved. So what do I have to do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And he was saving his family that night because some men praised the Lord. There is so little praise of the Lord in our world today, it'll have a powerful effect when anyone hears it. It'll be strange for them to hear you humming or singing at work or something, or in your home. It'll be strange, or in your neighborhood. It'll be strange. It'll catch their attention. It's powerful. We need to say it. We need to sing it. And now turn to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, a couple more verses. Psalm 33. I want you to notice verse 2. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Notice this verse right here. It says, praise the Lord with harp. That's a musical instrument. Last of all, we need to sound it. Sound it. I saw the word praise connected with musical instruments 25 times in the Bible. I probably missed some. But these are the three most common forms of praise in the Scriptures. Turn to 1 Chronicles 23 and verse 5. First Chronicles 23 and verse 5. I wouldn't believe this unless I read it in the Bible. Can you imagine this? What's the average number of instruments in a symphony orchestra? 100. That can be a moving experience. Go down and see the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra or something. Maybe they're playing something good that night. That's powerful. 100. Look what this Bible verse says. 1 Chronicles 23, verse 5. Moreover, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 what? Praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. Have you ever heard 4,000 instruments go off at once? I never have. Heard 100 and I've been amazed. I heard an orchestra about 25 last year at the cantata. Was it 25? That was great. Heard a choir about 50 people. That was great. What a beautiful cantata last year. Christmas cantata. That was beautiful. That was powerful. 4,000 instruments that David made so people could praise the Lord at one time. Wow. Sounds like they're sounding it, doesn't it? Sounding it. And what were they doing with these instruments? And 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. Why are instruments made? They are made for the praise and the glory of God. And I want to encourage you to learn a musical instrument. Anybody can learn a musical instrument. If you can learn how to type, or if you, you know, I don't think they do that anymore, but if you can learn how to operate a computer, you can learn a musical instrument. You know, your fingers, you get people know how to type, you can play a musical instrument. And if not, at least try to get your children to play a musical instrument. Learn an instrument. Try to learn it well. Praise God with it. It will bless the people of God. If we come to church and we sang a cappella here, that would be fine. That would be wonderful. But it's so much nicer when it's accompanied by stringed instruments like the pianos and the other stringed instruments and the brass instruments and so on and so forth. 4,000. We need to sound it. We need to sound it. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. I want you to notice with me verse number 13. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. What were they doing with instruments? Sounding it. What were they doing with singing? Singing it. Praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the ministers could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. I think this is why Satan is attacking music in the church today. The glory of the Lord's not filling the houses. It's all in the flesh. Some of these churches, their rock bands and their so-called praise and worship bands and their floodlights and colored lights and fog machines and all this nonsense. Man, I got saved out of that. I got saved out of that. Man, I busted up, I don't know how many hundreds of maybe thousands of dollars worth of albums and sold my equipment and got rid of it, the high-powered stuff. And by the way, if you listen to loud music, you can damage your ears, and the ears cannot heal themselves. Your ears can't heal themselves. You've got to take care of your ears like you take care of your teeth. You can't get new teeth, you can't get new eardrums and so on. Doesn't work that way. And I got saved out of that. We need to get the glory of God back into the church. And we do that by singing and lifting up our voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praising the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And then when people will come into the church, I believe that music will be preparatory. It'll prepare them to hear from the Lord. It'll prepare them to hear the message from God. It'll prepare their hearts and their spirit if it's good music, just as it prepared Elijah, who once called for a minstrel, who was struggling for a message, and when the instrumentalist played, the Lord came upon him, and the Lord spoke through him. The Bible says music drove the evil spirit away from Saul that was troubling him. And I believe if we can honestly praise the Lord in our public meetings in this church building, I don't think the evil spirits are going to hang around here. And a whole lot of people who came in feeling bad are going to go home feeling good, in a good sense of the word. And being open to the word of God, we need to make His praise glorious. Teach your children. Learn an instrument. Learn it well. Praise God with it. Be a blessing. Look, you could take yourself a violin and walk in, and if you know how to play it, you could walk into any nursing home in America and you could make people cry that fast by the power of that little stringed instrument. That's how powerful music is. You just go in there and start playing some of the old hymns of the faith. It's going to move people, prepare people to hear from the Lord. The three most common forms of praise are saying it, singing it, and sounding it. Not all of you can sound it. You haven't learned instruments or haven't learned them yet. Listen, you parents, go broke teaching your kids musical instruments, getting them lessons, getting them instruments, get music into your house. It's a fact that people who play in bands and orchestras have better behavior in their youth than those that don't. They learn good music. Even if you don't know a lick about music, somebody can teach them. Go broke. I went broke buying instruments for my kids and music lessons and so on and so forth. I don't regret it. I think it helped their character. I really do. I think David was a man's man, but boy, he was a man of music too. He was a psalmist, and I don't know where he got the time to make all these instruments. He made all these instruments, and he got people trained to play them, and they just used them to praise God, glorify God, and man, the glory of God filled the house. And the priest couldn't even minister because God's glory came down. We need to take this thing about praise serious as Baptists. As Baptists. For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We need to maybe we're miles ahead in our prayer discipline than we are in our praise, but we need to get started with this. Praising the Lord as individuals, saying things, just the fruit of your lips giving thanks. Thank you, Lord. Singing it and sounding it. I'd like us to bow our heads for a word of prayer. We need to have high standards in the church with our music. I know sometimes you get close to the line, and we shouldn't. We should stay away from it. Those of you that sing should have high standards. You're praising the Lord, and you're teaching the people. Colossians 3 and verse 16 says that singing is a means of teaching, and you singers should have your standards as high in your life as a teacher does. You should have standards of personal holiness. You should attend all the church services and not miss any, because you're standing up being an example. You need to take your singing very seriously. You're playing your instruments, and you're praising of the Lord. Say it, sing it, sound it. These are the three most common ways that we can praise the Lord. Our Father, we pray for your blessing now as we dismiss, and we just pray that You would have your way now in the invitation. And Lord, I know some are taking this service lightly, this sermon, and you know, what's the big deal with praise? But Lord, it is so big. It's mentioned so often. Thou art worthy. And our adversary wants to keep us from giving you the praise you're worthy of. Lord, help us to start sounding it out. Lord, even outside the church building, at home, at work, praising the Lord, not to look stupid or like we're nuts or religious fanatics, but I'm sure we can do it in a way that's very real, effective, singing. Lord, I pray you touch some people's hearts to start learning an instrument or getting their kids to learn instruments when they get old enough. Now just bless our dismissal as we sing together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.